And let us turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 25. As I said last Lord's Day, I by accident skipped this chapter, but I believe that was quite providential. As we look at this and as we are celebrating Palm Sunday, have a little ear to think about the things of Palm Sunday as we read this passage from Isaiah chapter 25, the 12 verses, as we are reminded of God's decree from before the foundation of the world, and that God gives His salvation, brings His salvation, and what that promises us even today. So let us hear God's word from Isaiah chapter 25. O Lord, You are my God. I will exalt You. I will praise Your name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels are of old, are faithfulness and truth. For You have made a city a ruin, a fortified city a ruin, a palace of foreigners to be a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, the strong people will glorify You. The city of the terrible nations will fear You. For You have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. You will reduce the noise of aliens as heat in a dry place, as heat in the shadow of a cloud. The song of the terrible ones will be diminished. And in this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines and lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. He will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of His people He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him. We will be glad and rejoice in His salvation. For on this mountain the hand of the Lord will rest, and Moab will be trampled down under Him, as a straw is trampled for the refuse heap. And He will spread out His hands in their midst, as a swimmer reaches out to swim. And He will bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands, the fortress of the high fort of Your walls. He will bring down, lay low, and bring down to the ground, down to the dust. Thus far the reading of God's word, may He add His blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we celebrate, and as we remember the things said on Palm Sunday, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And of course, the people of Israel were looking for an earthly king. But Jesus came not as an earthly king. In fact, he said that very clearly to Pontius Pilate as Pilate was examining him. He said, if I were an earthly king, my servants would fight. But Jesus came as king of all things, as Lord God Almighty. And we read that in verse 9. And it will be said in that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. Jesus, on Palm Sunday, did not go to confront Pontius Pilate. He did not go to confront the other kings, King Herod. He went to the temple. He cleansed the temple to prepare for His sacrifice. And Jesus came to this world as certainly the King. He is the King of glory. He is our Lord, strong and mighty. He is our Savior. And yes, in winning the victory of the cross, He did not do something small. We read that in the later verses, as the straw is trampled down for the refuse heap, Moab shall be trampled down under him. The wickedness of this world was trampled down. The judgment was taken by our Savior. And yes, He gathers, He spreads out His hand, and He gathers together, and He brings down their pride, their trickery, specifically of Satan, of hell. In giving His life for us, He wins the victory for us. And so Jesus came into this world, and we celebrate on this Palm Sunday the King of Glory, the King at the creation of the world, and the King at the Day of Judgment. And as we look at this passage, the theme that we want to see is, as we celebrate Palm Sunday, we celebrate God's fulfilled promise of Christ as King, and look forward to the final fulfillment of that kingship in His return to wipe every tear from our eyes. We celebrate God's fulfilled promise of Christ as King, and look forward to the final fulfillment of that kingship in His return to wipe every tear from our eyes. In verses 1 through 5, we are thankful and we praise God for what He has counseled, for what He has decreed before the foundation of the world. In verses 6 through 8, we look at the precious promises of what God is continuing to do for His church. And in verses 9 through 12, we look at the church's triumph in God over her enemies. So first of all, we begin with thankful praise for what God has done, for what God has counseled. The Lord is to be exalted because of His counsels, because of His faithfulness, because of His truth. We begin at the beginning of the chapter, O Lord. Now we were taught in the Lord's Prayer to begin prayer with what? Our Father. And the beauty of what we have in Jesus Christ is we are the children of God for the sake of Christ. But we do need to realize who God is. And as this is addressed to God, O Lord, You are my God. We need to understand who God is. He is the Lord. He is our Master. And we are His people. And what are we here to do? I will praise Your name. We are here to glorify the God of the universe. We are here to dedicate this world to His service. I will praise Your name. Notice as well, the name. God represents Himself to us by His name. Remember, even for Moses, it was a fearful thing. And for the Israelites, rightly so, it was a fearful thing to misuse God's name. It's the third commandment. How do we use God's name? You have done wonderful things. When we look at what God has done, what do we see? Yes, we see a broken world. But you consider, I'm just looking at the pews in front of me. What kind of tree that was. And how wonderful that is. And we don't even think about those things, do we? You start looking inside of the cells. We look at human beings. How we work together. How all of this stuff works together. And works for years. And yet, 60, 70, 80 years, 100, our bodies fall apart, don't they? Because there's something more important than just our bodies here on this world and our culture which runs after pleasure for this body. I will praise Your name. You have done wonderful things. When we think about creation, our minds should also go to judgment. Because He who created will also judge, and His judgment is also wonderful and beyond our imagination. God is perfect in it. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. We are reminded of God's decree before the foundation of the world, of what would go on in the world. And God is faithful to that declaration. He does not change it. Jesus, again and again throughout His ministry on this world, said that it might be fulfilled which was written by the prophet. And the prophets, of course, are told by God. And so we need to be exalting God for His counsels, for what He does, for His faithfulness, and for His truth. That God speaks to us truth. And I don't want to get deep into that, but when we look at this world, God speaks truth to us. When we look at the Bible, God speaks truth to us. Truths that our puny minds can understand. And yet not fully, of course, because God's way are far higher than our ways. And the Lord is the one who provides strength for His people, not our abilities. The Lord makes His people strong so that nations will fear Him, not us. We want people to be concerned about us, how important I am. No, God says, I'm important. God is the one who makes a fortified city a ruin, never to be rebuilt. Now, what city is He talking about? Of course, in the context of Isaiah, we're talking about Babylon. Babylon, the nation that would and capture the Israelites and bring them into captivity, would be judged. Babylon is destroyed. There's nothing left there. God makes it a ruin. And so any nation, we think about Rome, if you read the book of Revelation, and their fight against God. We think about Jerusalem. And what happened to that? All destroyed because they rebelled against God. Because of this, because God is the one who judges on this earth, therefore, the strong people will glorify You. The strong people are those who are saved by God. Our strength is not in ourselves. We need to be reminded of that. And what should we do because of that strength? We don't say, look how good and important I am. God save me. But rather, when we realize that I'm no better than anybody else, but it is by God's mercy, by God's grace that He saves this miserable sinner, then we glorify God. Because God is the one who gives strength. God is the one who is strength, what? Verse 4, to the poor, to the needy, who's in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. Where is our refuge? Our bank account? Having nice things on this earth, can those protect us from the real problems that come to us? No way. Our refuge is in God. God is the one who is King, who is Lord, as we started out, right? Our Savior is truly King as we celebrate Palm Sunday. Not just an earthly King, but the eternal King of the universe. And He is the one who provides refuge in this world. He is the one who provides strength. And so when things look strong in this world, as things like Google and Facebook and Twitter and these companies that seem to have power over our elections in this nation, yet, who's stronger? God is. God is almighty. And we don't know what God's plan is in all of this, but we can trust Him way better than we can trust Google. We know what He's doing. And we have His promise that He will work all of things out for His glory and for our good. The blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And they're talking about the Babylonians coming in and destroying. And they did. They destroyed Jerusalem. They tore apart the temple. These pillars that were beyond massive, they broke up and carried off to Babylon. Yet God is the one. Their strength is like a storm hitting a brick wall. doesn't go anywhere. He says, going on there, verse 5, you will reduce the noise of aliens. As we look a little bit further, these things are loud and nasty. A heat in a dry place, a heat in the shadow of a cloud will be the song of the terrible ones will be diminished. Those who are terrible on this earth. And if you look across this world, perhaps from time to time, you see the terrible. And quite honestly, we're seeing more of it in our own nation. We were ruled by laws. We need to be ruled by the truth. Laws that are wicked are still evil. And yet, in the midst of this, God is the one who reduces their noise. That shadow, when the cloud goes over and you've got a hot summer day and you're parched, God is to us as that. The noise of this world yelling and screaming with all of their ideas. God is the one who provides that shelter, that refuge, that shade. So what is the precious promise of what God is continuing to do for His church? The Lord of hosts provides a great feast for all people in His holy mountain. In this mountain, you hear this again and again, by the way, in this passage. What is this mountain? Jerusalem, Temple Mount, in God. The Lord of hosts will make for all people. The gospel has always been for all nations. The Israelites held it in because they wanted it for themselves. Because they were afraid to speak to people. God put them on the crossroads of the world. And by the way, in the New Testament, the church has done very similar things. We need to be out there with the gospel, not just in our little comfortable church pews, hiding the rest of our lives. But no, out there with the good news of Jesus Christ in a world that is broken, a world that needs Christ. There's this promise of a feast. And this feast, by the way, is referenced as well in Revelation, Revelation 18 and 19. There are two feasts in Revelation 18 and 19. The feast of the birds that will eat the flesh of those who fight against Christ. And the feast of the wedding lamb, which is what's referenced here. This feast of choice pieces, of the best food, of wines in the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines and lees. Okay, a couple of verses previously, we were talking about poor. We were talking about needy and distress. God says, for these people who trust in me, I'm providing a feast. For those of us who put our lives in Christ and not in the things of this world, God provides a feast, a joy, such as this world can't even begin to imagine. God is the one who provides this ultimatum. On the one hand, you have destruction, you have wrath, and on the other hand, that's what we're going to see, by the way, in verse 7, and on the other hand, He provides a feast, the eternal life that He gives to His people. And He decreed before the foundation of the world, that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ walking upon this earth, the promise of God among us, Emmanuel, that Christ as King was on this earth to give His life so that we might have that feast. And God will destroy all that by which people seek to cover themselves. This is a difficult thing to see right here. Verse 7, God will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people. Now what's that? The veil that is spread over all nations. and he will swallow up death forever. People try to cover themselves, and they cover themselves in weird ways, as we see in the book of Revelation again. That people will say to the mountains, fall on us in the day of judgment. People try to make themselves look good, but that's going to be destroyed. And death that covers all people will be swallowed up forever. There will be no more death because of what Christ has done. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. All of our trials. God knows every one. The psalmist says that he captures our tears in his bottle. God does not send upon his people a needless care. And we are told that our Savior will wipe away every tear from our eyes, from our faces. The rebuke of his people, he will take away from all the earth. When we think of Israel and the judgment of God against Israel because of their sins, God rebuked them. And as we sin and as we fail, we receive consequences on this earth. The loving consequences of a God who is our Father and cares enough to direct us. But that does not mean God hates us. That is God calling us back to Himself, to truth and righteousness. And God will take away that rebuke. God will take away from all the earth the judgment of sin. For the Lord has spoken. And so all who are in Christ will receive eternal life instead of the judgment which you and I receive. And we see then these precious promises. And we're really into that already. He will swallow up death. He will wipe away the tears from our eyes. The rebuke of his people will be taken away. Why? For the Lord our God has spoken it. God's word that was there going back to the beginning of the chapter, to his decree from the foundation of the world, God has spoken. We read what the writer to the Hebrews says in the opening of the writer of the book of Hebrews. God, who has various times and in various places, has spoken us today in Son. In His Son, the Word become flesh, dwelt among us, the promise of God. And God is the one who provides triumph over our enemies, over the church's enemies. Remember, even at the time of Christ, they waited for Christ. Remember what Anna and Simeon in the when Jesus came in to be circumcised. They were waiting for the consolation of Israel. There were many there, and we wait today for his return. It will be said in that day, verse 9, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. And we look forward again to that day in which Christ shall return in judgment. Not because we are worthy, but because Christ is worthy, we will be able to say, He will save us. Behold, this is our God. Emmanuel, of course, at the time of Christ, God with us. This is the Lord continuing. We have waited for Him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, walked on this earth to save sinners. And we will rejoice, we will be glad in His salvation. The salvation God has given to you and me. Eternal life. the joy of being forgiven of our sins. Have you ever taken for a second to think how many sins we commit every day and how much we deserve eternal hell? And think on that for a second. And if we only think on that, it can make us pretty sad and pretty scared, can't it? But then we need to answer ourselves with the wonder of Christ. And think on Christ. Yes, I'm a sinner, but Christ is a perfect Savior who has fully saved me from all my sins. The hand of the Lord will rest on His mountain. Again, Israel, but this points us forward to the New Jerusalem. And Moab, the wickedness of this world, will be trampled down under Him. The wicked nations around Israel, who are a thorn in their sides, but also today, for those who fight against Christ and against His church, will be judged and will receive just judgment as straw is trampled down for the refuse heap on the dunghill. They will be sent to the refuse heap, to judgment. And He will spread out His hands in their midst, verse 11, as a swimmer reaches out to swim. And He will bring down their pride together with the trickery of their hands. God will bring down the pride of this world. He will bring down the trickery that goes on in this world, the lying. God will judge. The fortress of the high fort, man's abilities to protect themselves. Even as we think about Babylon, and we think about the strength that God gave the armies of Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar to tear down Judea and to tear down much of the world at that time. Their high fortresses, they thought they were impregnable. Yes, God is the one who provided. Read the book of Daniel. God is the one who gives victory. God is the one who gives refuge. And He will bring down those high earthly walls. So those who seem entirely impregnable in this world, totally unable to be touched, God will judge. He will lay them low and bring to the ground down the dust. And as we consider that, also be reminded, beyond and above any earthly king, any earthly ruler, whom Jesus brought down to the dust. He conquered Satan. He conquered death. And so while we think perhaps so easily about earthly things, our Savior, as He is King on this earth, did battle on the cross and before. It wasn't with sword and shield. It was by giving His life. In dying, He won the victory. And so as we do celebrate Palm Sunday, remember that we celebrate a King. Not an earthly king, but the eternal King of the universe, who came into this world, who became like unto us in all things except for sin, so that He could live and die on our behalf, that He could do battle. And He's won the war. And brothers and sisters, we receive the beautiful benefits of our beautiful Savior, given not because we're worthy, not because we're wiser and better than the world, but because of God's grace. And that offer, as we saw, is there for all nations, all peoples, to come to Christ, to turn to Him, Because there is a day of reckoning coming. And Jesus will stand as well at the end of time as judge. We can look forward to that day because Jesus is our beloved Savior. But the rest of the world stands in terror of it. And rightly so. But we have the answer, and let us not then hold it to ourselves, but be reminded that all of this comes not by chance, but by God's divine fatherly hand, by His decree before the foundation of the world. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty, gracious, Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are a King. Not an earthly King, but the eternal King of the universe. And we pray, Lord, that we would serve You and not our own little kingdoms on this earth. Indeed, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. We pray, Lord, that we would submit our wills to You, that Your will, which alone is good, would be done. We pray, Lord, looking forward to that day of judgment in which You will judge all of those who seem to be untouchable. And we thank You that You will judge Satan finally on that day. And yet the war is won. And we rejoice in our Savior who did combat against Satan and against hell, giving His life on our behalf as our King. And we pray, Lord, that we would serve Him, that we would glorify Him, who has given for us and given to us eternal life. For we pray this in Jesus' name, praying as He taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.